Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
No, Michael O'Regan, very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us again this morning. We're going to start this week by, as we do every week, we look at the wide breadth of what's happened in Leinster House and beyond. But we have a new British Prime Minister to contend with. Hopefully he'll last longer than his predecessor of 44 days. But he'll have inspiration, I understand, from a Kerry landmark. Tell me the story.
Yes, Jerry, this is very, very interesting. And we look forward to the day he sits opposite you in studio during his visit to Kerry. What happened was this. Last St. Patrick's Day, the Minister of Finance, Pascal Donoghue, was sent to London for the usual St. Patrick's Day festivities, etc., etc. So naturally, he called on the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, at number 11 Downing Street. Now, Jerry, no green beer. No shamrocks being thrown around and all that kind of thing. They had tea and biscuits. But Pascal is a very bookish man, as you know. He reads books. He reviews books for the Irish Times. Reviews them very well, actually. So he brought a gift, naturally enough. He gave to Rishi. And what was the gift? Gift was the Skelligs, Islands on the Edge of the World by Peter Cox. Beautiful book, beautifully illustrated. And he passed it on to Rishi, and Rishi was delighted with it. By the way, Jerry, Pascal went further, I'm told. He urged the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, now Prime Minister, to visit this great place of spiritual and physical beauty. Pascal, of course, is a big fan of South Kerry, particularly Valentia Island, but obviously the Skelligs, with all its history, etc., etc. I once said to him, by the way, after a visit to Kerry, "You'll be made a free man of Kerry." "I want to be made," he says, "a free man of Valentia." So, but anyway, in the bookshelf down number 10 Downing Street, Jerry, you'd have a book on the Skelligs, a lovely book that it is, and he's been invited to visit Kerry and hopefully take in the Skelligs.
Will he need the inspiration? Will he need a trip out there to try and think his way and think Britain's way out of the economic hole that they're in?
I think he may, Jerry, and he may need a period of reflection and silence, maybe, from the hardline Brexiteers. He's trying to keep them on board. Mind you, historically a hardline Brexiteer himself. We don't know if he's seen the error of his ways, but my own hope is that he will go to the Skelligs, see a few ghosts of monks. They may talk to him, and he may see the light and understand that Brexit was an absolute disaster for the UK and indeed a disaster internationally.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He'll need the patience of Job anyway, Michael, if he is trying to oversee and deal with the situation in Northern Ireland. I don't want to get too depressing about this or depressed about this, Michael, but hearing the commentary over the last number of days, the deadline has passed, of course. The Northern Secretary, who was kept in place, interesting this week, in the reshuffle by Rishi Sunak, confirming there will have to be an election now because the DUP said no. Here we are again. Ulster says no, Michael. You could play tapes of the interviews this morning and the run-up to this week from last February and from 5 years ago when it was the Irish language that toppled everything in the Northern Assembly. They seem stuck in a depressing loop of no progress. Is that an accurate description of it, or am I being unfair?
No, you're not being unfair, Jerry. It is. It's dreadfully depressing to observe. And when you think, you know, next year, the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, that'll want to be a big celebratory occasion. Doesn't look great now from this perspective, but you'll have the election in December. It probably won't change much. Hopefully you'll see, you know, to be quite honest, the DUP getting their comeuppance, but we have to wait and see on that. Very depressingly, by the way, this morning, the Belfast Telegraph is reporting that loyalist groups have warned of dire consequences, their words, dire consequences, if there is no movement on the Northern Ireland protocol. Now, this shows, Jerry, just how fragile peace is in Northern Ireland. And, you know, while the Good Friday Agreement was a great achievement, you know, the potential for violence always lurking there. An interesting aspect of this, of course, is you're now going to have some kind of direct rule from London, although it won't be called that, I suppose, because under the Good Friday Agreement, the Republic has a consultative role. Now, the Taoiseach mentioned that in the Dáil the other day. But, I mean, a consultative role is not joint authority.
No, no. And, Michael, the depressing thing is that there was progress over the last couple of weeks, maybe, probably too late. But you would have thought, OK, why don't they just go back in, and then if things don't improve, let's say put a date on it, the DUP, and say we'll pull the plug next March if there hasn't been sufficient progress in the meantime.
Yeah, that's right, because somewhere down the line there has to be a compromise on this. And part of the problem, of course, has been the instability in London, prime ministers and ministers coming and going. There's some kind of confidence that Sunak will be possibly more, you know, that he'll stand up to the DUP on this. We have to wait and see about that. But all the attention in London has been about political survival. But you're right.
They've been distracted. They've been clearly distracted from what they should have been doing and keeping an eye on the ball in Northern Ireland. That goes without saying.
Yeah, totally distracted. And Northern Ireland being way down their list of priorities. I mean, there's no question or doubt about it. And the intransigence of the DUP is reminiscent of another era, you know, when unionists, but then unionists, failed to recognise the need for equality in housing and job opportunities and all that kind of thing. So it brings back pretty bad memories right across the board. I was just at the moment reading at the moment Eoin O'Shea's book on the Civil War in Kerry, No Middle Path, excellent book by an outstanding historian. But what is depressing beyond words is to read about the butchery and the killings that was part of the Irish Civil War, particularly in Kerry. I've just come, actually, to the section dealing with Ballyseedy. And when you think about it, and you look at the north as well, all that waste, all that death, all that destruction of property, all that injury, all that bitterness, and for what?
That's the question.
I would recommend people up north, maybe, and people everywhere, in fact, to read Owen's book, because it brings home the horror of the Civil War, and Gary, let's be clear about it, the horror of the Civil War in our county.
Yeah, certainly does. Okay, Michael, we're going to talk more about the political week. Good news for the government in terms of the polls that are out. We'll talk about that and more.
Kerry Today, live from the Kerry Sports Academy to celebrate Munster Technological University's conferring of awards day for the class of 2022.
Oh, Michael, this week the government got a timely boost. Is it a post-budget bounce, I wonder, from the polls? The support for the party is up across the board, and particularly large jumps for the three party leaders, Eamon Ryan, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. Sinn Féin still by far and away the most popular political party, but this is a timely fill-up, would you say, for the coalition parties?
Yes, it is, Gerry, and when you think about it, it's mid-term, the usual stuff, and government shouldn't be doing very well. But look, budget bounce indeed. Now, Sinn Féin is still the largest party, 35% just down one. Fine Gael up 4, 22%. Fianna Fáil up 1, 21%. The Green Party at 4%. Labour, unfortunately for Labour, at 3%. Mind you, 6% in Dublin, where they hold a number of key seats. The interesting personal ratings were worth looking at. When you think about Mary Lou is leading, you know, the heir apparent to government, Sinn Féin, and her personal rating was 45% too. But Micheál Martin is also on 45%, plus 5 actually in his case. Leo Varadkar is at 44%, plus 8. And Eamon Ryan is at 20%, plus 5. Government satisfaction is at 40%. The interesting thing is that one would have thought, perhaps, that Mary Lou, in terms of personal rating, would be further ahead, but, you know, these things are not always easily explained. So from that point of view, a very, very good poll for the budget, but for the government. But look, the budget is clearly a factor here. The big challenges for this government are in the area of housing and health. If they can't get housing and health right, they're in trouble at the next election. There's no doubt about that.
Housing, Michael, housing bleeds into everything. Like you've a situation whereby you've got teacher shortages now in Dublin. One of the real reasons for recruitment there is the housing shortages. We have the University Hospital Kerry here in Tralee launching a campaign to try and attract housing or sort housing for people who may work there to help with recruitment. So it feeds into everything.
Absolutely, it does feed into everything. And I mean, you're going to have a situation in Dublin where qualified people won't stay in Dublin. particularly Dublin, I think, maybe, mind you, accommodation is expensive everywhere. But they're not going to stay in Dublin if they can't afford to rent a place when they start their careers. And I mean, and that's something very, very obvious. And, you know, unless they decide to go way outside Dublin and commute and all that kind of thing, and that's, you know, that's unlikely. So, as you say, it feeds into everything. But one of the things that's happening, Gerry, is that housing, major crisis in housing, but it's inclined to sideline a little the crisis in health, you know.
Which we're seeing University Hospital Kerry turning people away from the front door this week, University Hospital Limerick, others under pressure as we head into winter.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it's right across the board. Health used to dominate the political agenda in the past. Then housing became such a crisis that it's eclipsed health. But health is equally important in terms of, with housing, in terms of issues that's going to confront the government parties at the next election, and indeed all parties.
Yeah. Michael, is there a question, though, as well, of messaging here? And I have to say, even as a member of the media, is the dastardly media at it again this morning? The ESRI report, which is launched this morning, huge amount of positives for the reduction in income inequality, significant, substantial reduction in the income inequality in this country over the last 10 years, and particularly since 1987, where we were one of the worst performing countries in the world for it. Now we're at the top of the league table for reductions in income inequality. But the headlines in the papers this morning, a job and a third level degree no longer enough to protect people from poverty, focusing on the issue of rising rents, which is a big issue, particularly for the younger generation. You have to go three quarters of the way down the story to learn that Ireland's in-work poverty rate, despite the fact it's headlined in all the stories, is low compared to other countries at 4.4% of the working age. It's half of the EU average, while overall poverty and inequality rates have fallen substantially in the past decade. Now, if you were to listen to the political discourse in this country, you would have... You'd be forgiven thinking we were a banana republic and that everybody was on the breadline. This report says the opposite, but the message, and it, maybe that's part of the government's problem, isn't getting out there.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is. There is a problem there in getting that message out there, and that's a very, very valid message. But you see, the problem then, Gerry, is you accept that and you welcome that level of progress, but then you can find you find that young people can't rent. You know, they're challenged about buying a house, you know, or an apartment or whatever. You walk down O'Connell Street in Dublin, the iconic GPO, and you see a soup kitchen. You know, I mean, the irony of that outside where Pierce read his statement about cherishing all the children of the nation equally, etc., etc., and you see a soup kitchen. So I take your point that the good aspects of...
But my point is, on the political side of it, that's an issue for the government. I remember the Rainbow government, one of the big failures that they had in that election in 97 is they were the first government in the history of the state to balance the books and deliver a surplus. We heard nothing of that during the campaign. They got the messaging all wrong. They didn't focus on the economy or didn't focus on their positives, because the opposition are going to do what the opposition do. They'll focus on the negatives. So that there'll be a war to be fought on that front. And as you put the point is, the big issue for them will be whether they're some way down the road to fixing housing in the next 2 years, if that's when the election will be.
That's right. And I agree with you that they're failing to put across the positives. I also suspect, though, maybe that many people are not prepared to listen that closely to the positives, given the scale of the crisis in housing and in health and that. And by the way, Gerry, I agree with you about 97. Excellent government leaving office at the time. They failed during that campaign. And I remember travelling the country with Bertie Ahern, who turned it into a more personalised kind of leadership of Fianna Fáil. They failed to put across the economic message. And we paid a price afterwards, arguably.
Certainly. Michael, finally and briefly, we've had the refugee crisis again, big numbers coming in, the issues of the government trying to find places for everyone. They have at the moment temporarily, but it is a day by day thing. Pressure's on, huge numbers of people coming in, a lot of criticism from Sinn Féin and Mary Lou MacDonald, Micheál Martin and the government coming out strongly. And there's a poll again in the Irish Times this morning saying that there is continuing strong support for Ukraine in support of energy shortages, but voters are concerned about the numbers of refugees arriving here. The government, very strong line, we're continuing. We will house everyone who comes here. We'll do our best. We're not saying no to anybody.
Yeah, I think, Jerry, the government should be less sensitive about criticism on this. There has been, Mary Lou is right, there has been an absence of planning. They should listen to the opposition on this. They should also listen to people, communities down the country. That opinion of this poll in the Irish Times is interesting. On the question of too many refugees coming to Ireland, 61% agree, 34% disagree. Now, that's not Ireland being racist, because on the question of Ireland and the EU must continue to stand by Ukraine.
Overwhelming, 72% saying we need to keep going.
That's it, 72%. So, but part of the problem is a lack of planning. Also, Jerry, let's be quite frank about it. There's no point in our patting ourselves on the back and saying we're great to receive people from the Ukraine if they're coming in here in anticipation of fleeing from war, and they're told there's a possibility you might have to sleep in the street. You know, that doesn't show a shred of humanity.
No, certainly not. Michael, we're going to have to leave it there. My thanks to you. We'll see what Rishi Sunak makes of the Skellig's book and see what happens with that. But Michael, thanks for joining us in the programme this morning.
Thanks, sir.
That's Michael O'Regan with the call from the Dáil.